Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
Welcome to our latest episode of the Kosafa Show as we discuss the recent Hollywoodbets Kosafa Women's Championship draw with Mfilwe Jane and hear from Zambia assistant coach Florence Mwila, who will be leading the side in Gqeberha this year. We also have an in-depth interview with former South African international Mark Fish, who is embarking on an exciting new career path, and speak to Sinanele Dlamini, who carried out research for CAF at the recent Kosafa Under 20 tournament in Mozambique. But first, let's talk about the Kosafa Women's Championship, which will see a record 14 teams take part this year, making it the biggest women's international tournament on the African continent. The draw this week pitted host South Africa with Namibia, Eswatini and Seychelles in Group A, while Group B contains defending champions Malawi, Botswana, Madagascar and Mauritius. Group C sees Zambia, Angola and Comores do battle, while Group D has Mozambique, Zimbabwe and Lesotho. Banyana Banyana captain Jane gives her reaction.
Some good groups there. 14 teams obviously makes it very interesting this year. First time we've ever had that many teams. Just your thoughts on the draw?
Yes, firstly, I think the expansion will be good for development of football in our region and also in the continent as a whole. You know, it will give exposure to more players to be seen at an international stage. And I think the draw is a quite tough one. I think South Africa has gotten not so easy, but I think they stand a good chance of advancing to the semi-finals. And also, you look at Malawi, who won it the previous time, they will want to retain the trophy. But we shouldn't turn back on Botswana also, who has got a good coach and they've made good improvements over the years. And now you look at Zambia with the experience that they got from the Olympics and the World Cup. I think they are one of the nations that are on the rise and they'll be a good powerhouse of football in the African continent as a whole.
And if we look, I mean, we won't know for a little while what squad Banyana will bring, but it's likely to be quite a young squad, maybe players looking to gain international experience through this tournament. That can only be a benefit, I guess, to any nation that brings players to play in such a high quality event, you know, advancing their experience at this level.
Yes, when you look at the likes of South Africa, who will be having two teams during the international break, it gives an opportunity for the young players who have not gotten exposure at an international level to come and showcase their talents. You know, a number of players play in the Hollywoodbets Super League, so which is the highest league in our country. I think they will stand a good chance to be scouted by also overseas teams, and this Kosafa Championship will give them that exposure.
And if we just look on a regional level, I think the last 4 years of this competition, we've had four different winners. Malawi, Zambia, South Africa, Tanzania, who were a guest nation, East African guest nation. But that can only be good for football in the region, isn't it? That you don't have one country that's dominating so much and others are showing their improvement.
Yes, having four different winners in the four previous years shows you the quality that's in the region of Kosafa. You know, there's no team that has an easy way out. So all the teams come in the tournament to want to win it. No one comes to just showcase the talent, but they have to win the tournament and showcase that they have what it takes to win international competitions. So it will be also interesting to see who will win this year's edition, and you can't rule off any country at this stage.
And if we look at last year, the leading scorer was Tema Chawinga from Malawi, who got 9 goals, and she has since gone on to absolutely kill it in the North National Women's Soccer League in the USA, which is considered by many to be among, if not the best league around. That just shows that the quality of players who are come through this tournament, if we look at Barbara Bunder as well, or there's a host of South Africans I could mention, you know, yourself included, it just shows that this tournament is kind of producing the stars of tomorrow.
Yes, you look at the players who are now killing it at an international stage overseas, the likes of the players you've mentioned, Barbara Bunder, Rachel also, Kunandaji, who's also doing so well with BFC. It's the competition of Kosafa that gives them that exposure, that gives them that experience to showcase their talent. And we know a lot of teams overseas, they like they like to look into Africa for top talent. So this will give the players an opportunity to be scouted and showcase what they have.
And just lastly, if we talk about women's football in general in the region, we've got a girls under 17 tournament later this year in Maputo, Mozambique. We're hoping to stage a women's under 20 tournament in November. We've had the Women's Champions League. We've got the Women's Championship coming up now. That's four tournaments being held this year. That's really is incredible from CASAFA, especially to put so much effort and, let's face it, finances. It, you know, these tournaments don't run themselves, into women's football.
Yes, we give credit to CASAFA as a region, you know, as a tournament host also. You look at the number of tournaments that they host, the under 17 women, under 20, the senior. It's exposure on all levels. So all the players from development to elite level, they want to participate at this tournament because it gives that experience to showcase their talent, to gain also the experience to play against top players from all over the region. So we give credit to CASAFA as a whole, the organizers and everyone that's involved.
Let's now get the views of Zambia assistant coach Florence Mwila to the draw.
Coach, just give us your thoughts on the draws. You've been drawn alongside Angola and Comoro at this year's tournament.
Well, very interesting draws because both Angola and Comoros were part of in our group last year. Obviously, we carried the points, but then we cannot still approach the games or the matches as we approached because every team has been preparing. And we saw how Angola really performed well during the WAFCON qualifiers. So we know that Angola has a strong side. So it's a very interesting draw, but we just need to put in our best that we may be able to come out of that group as the noble leaders of that group.
You won the tournament in 2022. You lost the final the next year later. What's your target for this tournament?
Well, our target is to go as far as we can go with in the tournament. This year, we are really looking at new players as well. We are preparing for the WAFCON. We have to, if you look at our team, we have a lot of new players. Now it's 90% of new players. Some could have been called to the national team, but they've never had game time. So we want to see our players being able to play at that level and see how their confidence levels are in order to beef up the Copa Queens. So winning the CASAFA will be a plus to our objective this year, which is identification, player identification.
And finally, the tournament has 14 teams. For the first time, how do you welcome such in as regards to the growth of women football in the region?
So it's a very good move. I was very happy when I saw that the number has increased to 14. You see the way the women's game is growing. We would like all these other countries to expose the girls to have an opportunity to play freely, because some of these countries you find that the girls are not playing because they have to play with the boys. But now there is an opportunity that they'll be able to represent their country. So you can tell that we are, as a region, we are headed in the right direction, and the girl child is being recognized in most of the countries.
Mark Fish was a superb player in his day and was part of the South Africa's golden generation that won the 1996 Africa Cup of Nations. He also had a long career in Europe and is now set on making his name off the pitch with a new career path.
So Mark, I know you've been involved a lot for a few seasons now on the TSG with CASAFA. Kind of, how's it been going for you? What are your impressions of it? And I know you've been doing some things with CAF as well. If you could maybe just fill us in on that.
No, thank you, Nick. Thanks for asking, because I was actually thinking about it yesterday. So it feels like it's either three years ago where I was first invited to come to beach football, because I live in sunny KZN. Found myself doing beach football, and then slowly getting involved with obviously the mainstream football, which is the men's game, and then I've done one Women's Champions League, and then generally the men's game, and they've got the under 20, the youth. So through CASAFA, the opportunity through CASAFA actually, being able to do the part of the study group, I have been very fortunate enough to get one or two, you want to call it, call-ups to CAF, the governing body of African football. We have done the under-20s, AFCON, and obviously very fortunate now to do this year, beginning of the year, the men's AFCON, which was held in Ivory Coast. So it is unique for me in the sense that I have my coaching badge badges, and I am slowly doing one or two things to be more involved in football. And I think being more involved in football, not from an actual coaching side, from the technical side, seeing how the game is played, and then at the lower levels, again, how the game is played and reporting how the game is played and how the game is changing and how the game needs to change so that we can remain and stay focused on football development on the continent, so that we can stay in line with world football, obviously being the governing body of FIFA, to make sure that us as Africa is in line and that we are able to compete with the rest of the world. And if the trends are going in the same direction, the right direction, but also sometimes to add a bit of spice and see how things are changing and how we are different to the rest of the world. So it has been a good experience thus far, but there's more to it. I think when it's more to it, you want to do more, you want to see more. And again, being at the CASAFA under 20s, I'm excited to see, obviously, how the teams in our region play, but I want to see how South Africa play. I want to see what sort of team they bring, how they are prepared for this tournament, and how serious we take it, because I am South African, and this is for me I know we have under 17, under 15 schools, we have younger teams playing, but for me this is important to see how development, when you say development, how the youth, how we're looking at youth. And again, when we talk youth, under 20s, slowly starting to get old when you look at world football. So it's important for me as a football follower, as a person that wants to be instrumental in how we play football on the continent, how we see football on the continent. And again, first and foremost, I must always say that I am a South African. Mm. So for me, it's to see how South Africa, what we are doing, what we need to do. And this is hopefully playing my part in seeing if we're going in the right direction, how we're going in the direction, and if not, what we can do to be part of the changes that need to happen so that we, as we saw Bafana in the beginning of the year, perform and do really well, give us pride again, so we can continue to do it in AFCONs to come.
Yeah, and I mean, you were from that kind of the golden generation of the mid-90s. It still is revered to this day. If you look at the football then and now through this TST work that you're doing, both at CASAFA level and CAP level, how has it changed, do you think, to a lesser or a greater degree?
No, I think it's. I think the game, obviously the game has changed. And I think 1993, we were now at the symposium in Ivory Coast, and goalkeeper Anton Bell was talking about how the rule, that passing back the rule, that changed in 93, which obviously growing up as a youngster, that rule of passing the ball back with a goalkeeper, you would hold the ball. I think you will remember it. And yes, when you talk about 90s football, you can, I know people can't see now, but you can look at mine and your hair, it's gone grey through football. But certainly the game has changed, the game has got quicker. I think there's so much more technology in the game. Sometimes we, as older generation, will go whether it's for the good or the bad, but it certainly is, stats, the game has changed. And I think sometimes when we look at African football in general, we are at times as federations slow to latch on what is happening with the rest of the world. But when I say as federation, because individually we've had unbelievable players in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the 2000s represent their countries in the best leagues in the world. So individually we've always had players. Now, fortunately, we have each World Cup we've had countries that have proven for Africans that we are able to compete with the rest of the world. And the last World Cup we've had that. We had Morocco show what he's capable. I know sometimes we as Africans say Morocco is not Africa because it's so close to Europe, they're more like Europeans. But they are African, and certainly they showcase what we are capable of doing. So yes, the game has changed, and however it's changing, the laws that the governing body install, we as a federation, SAFA falls under CUSAFA, which falls under CAF, which makes sure that we are, as federations, doing the utmost we possibly can for football development and football in our own countries and our own federations, and to make sure that, again, that we are in line with the trends and what is happening in world football. Because if we aren't in line, it makes it so much more difficult for us to compete. But we are, and at the moment, we have. It seems like we have a. You know, we are very fortunate to have a South African that is the president of CAF, and I'm sure that not only does he work for the whole continent, but he must do something that is good for our region, and there's no reason why he shouldn't. So, again, we are seeing things that are happening, whether it's in club football. Again, we must stipulate that it's in men and women's game that is happening, that is changing, and we need to remain in line with what is changing. And we are. And to go through all the changes, Nick, there's many changes that have happened, but again, the most important is to have not only countries doing well at AFCONs and going on to do well at World Cups. We have, fortunately, in South Africa, we have one or two clubs that are doing well on the continent. We have individuals that are doing well as coaches. So we have role models, we have people, and we have standards that we are setting for ourselves. So let's not only reach those standards, but let's surpass them by individuals that that are capable and able to do that and to achieve that.
Yeah. And of course, for the last couple of years, you've helped at CASAFA tournaments with your Fast Footy program. If you could just explain to people who might not be aware of what that is, exactly what the program is, and how it can perhaps help to bring that little improvement that you were talking about in sort of general play and attacking play especially.
So, yeah, Fast Footy is a version of football that we created a while ago. And as you said, fortunately, through the help of CASAFA, every time with a... If it's possible, they have a tournament in whichever country, and for the youth, we specifically aim for under 15 boys and girls. And it is changes that we as football followers or fans or ex-players or coaches, that when you look at the game and certain things, challenges that we have on the continent are the ones of scoring goals as individuals and how we play the game and how we see the game. So Fast Footy is a shortened version of time, not making the pitch smaller, having power plays, and in the power plays you're taking players off the field, which creates a numerical advantage, and where there's a numerical advantage you expect the game to be quicker, you expect to play the game, when I say quicker, at a faster pace, where if you are doing that, then hopefully the individual skills of players will improve. Hopefully communication more, creating more attacking opportunities, all in line with the way the game is changing. But one of our aspects that we've added is also if you score the goal outside the 18 yard, it counts as two. Oh. We are encouraging in the youngsters, boys and girls, to shoot, because as much as we see the goals that are scored, probably saying over 90% of the goals that are scored inside the 18 yard area. So, which is the way the game has changed and which the way the game has been played. But scoring a goal outside the 18-yard area is a rare ability, and it's a skill as well. So we don't want individuals to lose a skill. We want you to showcase, if you have that talent, to make sure that you grow it and nurture it at a young age, so that it is something that is an asset to you as an individual. When you have you're at a numerical disadvantage, we are hoping that you learn to communicate with each other, so that you are able to defend against a numerical advantage. Again, soaking up the pressure. We're not going to talk about all the dropping deep, defending the way that all the different terminologies, but defending in a way that you are able to soak up the attacks against you, and maybe even go forward in with less numbers to go forward and score goals. We have you can throw in and kick in the ball. This is also to make the game quicker, to highlight, at times now we see the players are taking the throw release taken maybe 10 meters further than the actual throwing was, but that's to make the game quicker. We've also introduced where the goalkeeper can release the ball anywhere in the 18-yard area. This is actually for a more advanced 15-yards, where, of course, again, not always sure that this rule of kicking the ball, the six-yard box is what it is anymore. So we've actually taken away the six-yard box because we want to quicken up the game and certainly make it a little bit more exciting from a young age, so that you develop into the, grow into these trends and skills that are happening in world football. And then at the end of the game, there's no draw. There has to be a winner, and the winner will be, again, that is something as a skills development, that whether, depending on the level of player that we see, we either choose the crossbar challenge, which is obviously as exactly as it is. You hit the crossbar from the 18-yard without a goalkeeper. That is a penalty. And people will go, but that's a different penalty to what the normal penalty would be. But again, it's a skills development. We want to develop the skill of being able to hit the crossbar, not meaning you must hit the crossbar. This is a skill that you're able to do something that's under pressure to achieve it. But the other penalty we have is what is being played, and what I played as a youngster is from the halfway line, but the semicircle is a 10-second rule, where you've got 10 seconds, one we won the goalkeeper. This is, and more so, the version of penalty that we take, because we see it, I see at the youth level, where everyone thinks it's easy, but it's not. We don't. It's a skill to be able to go one-on-one the goalkeeper and to score a penalty, but score a goal just in general open play. So that is something that we play more and more.
And they had it in the MLS, I think, for a while.
MLS did it 100%. But I remember doing it Marks Park tournaments in Johannesburg at the age of 10. So that is certainly it is, but it's a skill that you can develop. And so we're focusing on things that are how football is changing. Our football will continue to change, and hopefully, you know, giving the skills to the youngsters at a younger age. I mean, this is, we focus on 15. Again, we could even go under 13, but this is something that I enjoy. Mm. I enjoy seeing the youngsters when they actually understand it, when they have the numerical advantage, how they play the game, and when they have the numerical disadvantage, how they play a game. Mm. Over the years, I've seen the game has changed, and we've got to a final version of the game. But also, you know, when you've seen how over a period of time, if coaches play it, do it the right way, the coaching improves as well. And then even more so, if individuals standing watching the game, they actually, and they watch it over a period of time, they are able to see how the game should be played. Mm-hmm. We all have an opinion. We all will have an opinion, which is always good to have. But a version of football that needs to play and should be happening certainly will not only help everyone, certainly helps everyone, being from the fan to the coach to the actual player themselves. So it is, it's exciting.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win situation, definitely.
Yeah. And, I mean, that must keep you pretty busy, but anything else that you're involved in at the moment that you've got coming up? Any other exciting plans?
So I think the exciting thing, again, it's... for many years, for whatever reason, Nick, I decided to stay away from football as far as I could, and then slowly got back into it once I formed my foundation many years ago, which is over seven years ago. Got myself more and more involved in football, and now through CASAFA, and I'm actually in the process of doing not only for furthering my coaching badges and doing one or two diplomas where I actually want to become a technical director. So I'm going in that route, probably because I'm always part of the technical study group and always with TDs from different federations. But I think that's the route that I want to take, because it's, I feel that's probably a way that I would like to implement my way of thinking into football, not only in South Africa, but onto the rest of the continent. So it's exciting, but it's through the opportunities of CASAFA, working and seeing, being able to see football, how it's changing not only in our region, but how it's changing on the continent. And let's hope that's something I can achieve and watch my fellow teammates that are coaches, and maybe, who knows, one day be part of a club where I'm asking one of my coaches to come coach at the club, one of my ex-teammates to come coach at the club that I feel they can play a role in.
Yeah, I mean, it is an incredibly important role. I mean, people don't necessarily see that because the TDs aren't the face of what's happening. You know, when you're on television, you see the players and the coaches, but putting structures in place and, you know, making teams competitive and financially competitive and all that kind of thing is a massive thing.
I think 100%. I think that, forget the playing side, I think this being involved in the financial side off the field, I think that's I think if you had asked me 20 years ago, I don't think anyone would expect me to be a technical director or would want me to be a technical director for their team. But it's we all grow as individuals, and let's see where this takes me. But it's exciting, and unfortunately, I've got one or two people that are willing to assist. When I say assist, you know, being able to do the various courses I need to do or study the things I need to study, which is obviously not my forte neither, but it's a working process, and let's hope that it'll come to fruition, hopefully rather sooner than later. And
I mean, it was a shame, you know, all of that experience of, you know, playing all those caps for Bafana and at Nations Cups and World Cups and in Italy and in the Premier League and whatnot. It's great that someone's willing to come back and give something back to South African football, you know, not having lost all of that experience.
I think that's exactly when I sit back and think of everything that football gave me. You know, sometimes you think, geez, like life, you haven't made the right choices, or life is tough. And then I think I'm sitting, even now, you know, you're sitting here in Mozambique, you know, for another country, experiencing another culture. Whatever issues you have as an individual, you are very blessed and very fortunate what football has done for me. So, again, I certainly do, as you said there, try to give back and give back as much as I can. Probably experience as a footballer, but I think probably even more so experience as a person, you know, away from football. When I say away from football, off the football field itself. And I think that at times is a bigger challenge than actually on the field, because we do live in Africa. I am from South Africa, we live in Africa, and probably at times we have more challenges off the field than we have on the field. So if I can be involved with that and hopefully make that process for a young player to be able to reach his dream a little bit easier, then let's hope we're doing something in the right direction.
Yeah. And this last one, Mark, I mean, you've been in this role now, as you said, 2-3 years. Are you excited by what you've seen? If we talk about CASAFA now, the region, do you feel like the region is moving in the right direction? Do you feel like there is potential? We always talk about potential, but do you see it?
Absolutely. I mean, I look at, I was 2 years ago at the AFCON under 20, where, you know, I think it was Zambia and Mozambique that represented this specific tournament. And then I did the CHAN as well. And you see certain federations, how they take certain tournaments, they take these the under 20 youth tournaments, the CHAN, they take it very serious, because they have a program, they have a process that they are working towards, so that it will obviously feed to their senior team. So the women's game, obviously we see this region, we are quite strong. But in the men's game, we saw this, the last AFCON, we actually saw the work that the various federations through the assistance of CASAFA, the work that they have done, being able to give these federations regular tournaments at the various age groups. We saw that at the men's tournament this year, where Angola, Mozambique, and South Africa were, if I'm missing someone, went through to the next round of 16. Angola looked very strong, like South Africa. Looked at one stage, South Africa was going to play Angola. Again, and Mozambique also, you know, played very attractive football. So, again, and if you look at the AFCON, those teams would have been made of a lot of the players that are playing abroad. But there is a platform. The platform is the CASAFA tournaments, where as a youngster you are showcased, and you know, are probably seen by not only by your own federation, where you've shown them your ability, but to other, you know, different country where playing for your country. So CASAFA's platform is very important, and we've seen how the way football has progressed and keeps progressing forward on the continent because of our federation, being CASAFA, in the region, what they do and what they continue to do. So these are platforms that young players must take by both feet and showcase your talent, so that you are able to not only play for your country, but who knows, are able to move on to, I'm not going to say better, but that is a bigger, better way of football, wherever it is that you go. So yes, it's certainly, I have seen it, and hopefully we'll continue to see it in years to come.
Sinanida Dlamini has been conducting research for CAF into the fitness and nutrition of players. She'll tell us more about the program she's been working on.
My name is Sinanida Dlamini. I am a CAF researcher, research coordinator for the CASAFA region. So for the tournament, this tournament, CAF is conducting two research projects, which are on nutrition and safeguarding. So basically, overall, we're trying to find out the knowledge that these players have on nutrition and safeguarding. And for more on nutrition, we want to find out their sources of information and their beliefs and habits. And when it comes to safeguarding, we're trying to figure out how much they know on player agents, player contracts, and social media, and their exposure to it as players. Since it's basically the first time we're doing it, it has been okay. I would say it takes time getting used to, because you have to take time off of their schedule to actually speak to them and to ask them to be part of it, because it is voluntary. So far it has been good.
And has there been a follow-up project, maybe to see what players do beyond the tournament? Because the questions that you ask them, they probe their thinking, and then they are then open up in terms of things that they did not take cognizance of. But then is there a follow-up program that you just revisit the team?
Oh, based on the research, yes, of course. So after we receive the data, we analyze it. So if we see now they're not getting their sources of information from a nutritionist, only online, then we're like, no. For the next tournament, we definitely need to bring someone to present something so that they could at least get proper sources of information. And on player contracts, which is good, COSAFA does have safeguarding presentations. And for this tournament, they were doing player trafficking. So we try to link the two, especially after the questionnaires, so that we follow up with the presentations and try to bring in the things where they had a lot of questions on, especially during the questionnaire filling up.
Yeah, that's awesome, because what you're doing, it's not only for the teams that are coming through to COSAFA, but
yes,
if players are given an opportunity to play elsewhere, mm-hmm, they have the knowledge, they've been empowered.
Exactly.
But can that knowledge sift down to teams, like their mother teams, if it's not a national basis?
So we are trying to create a way that MAs, so in our recommendations, the report does go down to MAs. So they have the right to share it with any other team, like based on their associations. So with that, if anyone wishes to reach out to the MAs, or more so COSAFA, to try and figure out if we can have like educational campaigns and things like that, then absolutely, we try to reach out, yeah. Yes.
So are there any successful stories, any fabulous stories that you just can think of from just top of their mind?
Well, based on research itself, because I did start in 2020 when we were working with FIFA, was before CAF, we did a research on women's football, and we did find that you know, some, unfortunately, teams came to play soccer without having their proper sanitary pads and things like that. So we were able to discuss with COSAFA, and some sanitary pads were provided. Also, when it comes to food, because most of the players got sick there, and it was actually the food they ate, because it's different from the ones they used to. And along the way, we can also implement changes just like that.
You're really changing the game.
Yes, we're trying as best as we can.
Well, is there any parting shots that you'd like to mention?
Not necessarily, but I'm hoping that for each team that I meet at the tournaments, if they see my face, please be part of the research. It's the only way we can help and improve the best way for the game.
Okay, so is there any platform that we can find more information, or should we go to CAF or FIFA, or
yes,
is there a specific one?
CAF online, you find the CAF Research Hub, and you can find information on the people to contact. We're still building it to be proper, but yes, basically.
That's it for another episode of The COSAFA Show. We will be back in a fortnight's time. Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on our YouTube channel, Spotify, and iTunes. You can also get the latest news via our website at www.cosafa.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.